The Lord praise and thanksgiving this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Turn around, shake hands with two or three people, smile just big as you can, and tell somebody you love them in the Lord this morning, and then you can be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Exciting things are happening in the earth. I'll share some things with you today that the Lord has been. You know, you can look at one thing and focus on that one thing and have very little understanding about it. Because you don't understand what's behind it, you don't know why it's like it is. It just is, and as long as you're looking at things that are, and you keep calling things that are the way they are, and there's not anything to change them. And so, instead of changing and being part of God's power to change what the natural death flow of this earth is, then you're just flowing with it. And everything you do and everything you say perpetuates the lousy condition that you're in. Oh, I hurt. Well, oh, I hurt. I hurt. You understand? I hurt. And you call everybody and tell them you hurt. Well, if you wasn't hurting when you started that, you are by now. Because you're just flowing with it. Well, I tell it like it is. That's the reason it is. Words, when you begin right at the book of Genesis, chapter 1, you start dealing with words. This is a word-controlled environment. It is a word-created universe. We live under a word system. You cannot change that. You can, however, change the words under which you live. But you can't change the fact that it's a word system. Because that's the way God did it in the first place. And it will always continue like that. And Jesus explained it very capably. He said, you're justified by the words of your mouth. You're condemned by the words of your mouth. You will stand judgment for every idle and operative word that comes out of your mouth, or every faithless word that comes out of your mouth. And he said, out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. And what else? And that's what comes to pass. Out of the good treasure of a good man's heart, good things come to pass. Out of the evil or the non-God words would be a way to form that. And I'll tell you in a moment how to decipher between the two. For every evil, wicked word, twisted word that comes out of a wicked man's heart, wicked things come to pass. You see what's causing things to come to that person, whomever they are. And if they're not controlled by the environment. They're controlled by the environment that they produce. But natural man doesn't understand that. He doesn't have any way of knowing that. Why? Because the gospel's hidden from him. And this is part of the gospel, to learn that. And learn how it functions and how it works. That puts us in a different position. It puts us under different command and authority. It puts us in a place where we become the controlling element in our lives. Because you have God, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that He commands, and all that He has authority and command over, all of the angels of God, all of the command of God, all the people of God, all of that. He is commander in chief over all of those forces. You have all that on one side, and you have Satan and all he represents to steal, kill, and destroy every principality, every power, every... Now listen to the name of this one. The principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in heavenly places. That's not talking about the heaven where God lives. There's three different levels of heaven. It's talking about in this low heaven here, the envelope of the word Earth's atmosphere. Yes. Wicked spirits in heavenly places. Now, where are you in all that? Right in the middle. You made the decisions to receive Jesus, Lord of your life. You spoke it with your mouth, and He became the Lord of your life. He was available all the time. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man," so any human being can hear the voice of God. "Any man that hears my voice and opens unto me, I will come in." And this is so thrilling, but most Western people don't even know it's there because we're so non-covenant minded. But this is powerful covenant talk. He said, "Any man that will open unto me, I will come in and I will sup with him. I will enter into covenant relationship with him. I will sup with him," which means I'm going to take over all of the bills of this household. I have become Lord of this house. I'll take care of the food. I'll take care of what you wear. Now, didn't he say that? Then he say, "Why take ye thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we put on?" You don't even have to think about that. What are we going to eat? Where's our food going to come from? No, he said, "Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things." If you follow after that kind of thinking, I don't care if you are born again. If you follow after that kind of thinking, now you have flowed over into the Gentile side of life, the Gentile way of life. Because he said that's all the Gentiles do. They spend all their time trying to get food. Well, so does the animal world. That's what a low level of existence that is. See, some guy up there thinks he's really a hot rock because he's making a couple of million a year. But he's making it. You understand? And it's full of sorrow. So what's $2-3 million a year? That's just more food than you can eat. In relationship to what's been opened up to us. Oh, my. A million don't even get started. You're just barely in the door with billion. The government's figured out you can make $1 trillion. All you have to have is a great big printing press, and they'll borrow the money to get that. But I don't care if you do get up through the thousands and the millions and the billions and the trillions. I don't care how far you go with that natural system. You're still seeking food, shelter, and clothes. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of those things. You ought to just roll the care of that over on Him. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's follow this a little further. Go with me, please, to the book of Genesis once again. And let's read that in chapter 1. We're looking for concept insight, the precepts of God and how He thinks. You remember He said, my way of thinking is higher than your way of thinking. Did you ever stop and meditate a moment on why you think like you do? Or what causes your thought process? You have one thought, it leads to another, and then that leads to another, and that leads to another. And what causes that second and third and fourth thought to come to you? Why? And they're pretty well all the same. You have one thought, you'll have the next one. Why? Because that's the way you were taught to think. And someone else interjects an idea in there. You haven't thought in that line. Then your favorite phrase is, yeah, but. And let's get back on my way of thinking. Let's get back over here on my unbelief. The way my grandma taught me to not know what to do. Amen. You gotta, boy, I tell you. The first time somebody says, the Bible says, and the other one says, yeah, but, well, here comes unbelief. Just brace yourself, because here it comes. Why? That's God's thoughts going one way and yours going another. The reason you think like that is because that's the way your household thought. And that's the way your dad's household thought before you. And that's the way your granddad's household thought before you. And you process that back over a period of time. And if there's no interruptions in it, it'll go all the way to Babel. That's the way the Babylonians built the system they built. But God said, my ways of thinking are higher than your ways of thinking. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So you combine that too. My ways of thinking, my ways of doing things are higher than your ways of thinking and your ways of doing things. You do things by natural energy and natural thought. He does things by supernatural energy and supernatural thought. He does things by the anointing. He does things overall. You can package it all in one word. The blessing and its authority. That's the way He does things and that's the way He thinks. But now, we don't have to stay over here in our way of thinking. What is our way of thinking? There is a way that seems right to a man. But now listen, the ways, plural, are ways of death. Now if you pull away from God's way of thinking, which is one way, He never changes.
Right.
He thinks love. He thinks faith. He thinks word. He thinks give. He thinks power. He thinks nothing is impossible. Amen. He thinks truth unchangeable. That's the way He thinks. Now, you get off of that, there's a whole lot of ways out there to think. But they all going in one direction. Death. They seem right. Why? Because it seemed right to your mama. And she told you that. And it seemed right to her mama, and her mama told her that. Well, if you're just going to follow that, if the Bible doesn't get in there somewhere, it's all going to head in the same direction. This is the only thing, this Word of God is the only thing. Yeah, but all those religions have their books. Well, go look up and see where they lead you. See if they lead you to life. Go check all the books. See where they go. Don't waste your time. You knew where they were going before you get into them. Some of them will teach you to kill. Some of them demand that you kill and demand that you die. All but one demand that you die for God. But there is one where God died for you. Only one. Only one. So now, Genesis chapter 1. Say, chapter 1 is the beginning. Amen. Now this is good to go back over and over and over and over and over and over to continually renew your mind, renew your thinking to this, because when you step, when you, like, in this environment here, flowing in the same direction, in the Word, in faith, concept is easy, but you get out of here and get out there in that world, and they begin to speak logically to you. Well, logic only goes one logical place, and it's just logical that you're going to die. But that logic don't know where to go after that. You know why? Because it can't see it. But this book will tell you. There's a whole lot after that. This little time that we're spending here, I don't care if you live the full godly stated amount of 120 years. It don't amount to much. This is the shortest period of existence you will ever know. I'm 73, and what's 73 years compared to eternity? And all of the things that are out there ahead of us. Well, Brother Copeland, what could that be? Are you kidding me? You think this is all that God's been able to figure out? This is Ned in the first primer. I mean to tell you, and as massive and big as this look. This little old earth we're riding around on. I'm telling you, God's got a focus on this little old earth. But I'll tell you something else. He's got 50 billion galaxies full of planets like this all over the place that you and I know of. And we don't know much. All we know about is this little envelope that we're in the middle of in the universe. I'll tell you something else. God is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. How big is God? Well, let me ask you this. How small is He? Huh? There couldn't be anything smaller than Him, because He is the Alpha. And I don't care how they used to think the atom was the smallest thing and found out that thing is big as a house compared to what is smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And they think they found the smallest thing, and then it divides into three. And then you go after the smallest of that. And then you get into the nano, 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 and whatever. We ain't got words to say. It's smaller and smaller and smaller and infinite. Guess where you can't say small? Small. And when you get down to the smallest there is, then there's God. Hallelujah. He's however small He has to be, and He's however big He has to be. I'm telling you. and He's my Father. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You and I own things we don't even know what they are. Yeah, because we're joint heir to all this. Praise God. Well, you need to spend time meditating and listening to these words. And as you do, as you meditate on the things of God and the words of God, and you mix faith with it, your capacity for faith then begins to grow. You wouldn't think just right off that trying to realize how small God is could build your faith. Oh, yeah. And trying to know how big God is, that builds your faith. And when you begin to cry, Abba, Father, my Father, my God, hallelujah. And you continually spend time on this, what are you doing? You are changing your ways for His ways, your thoughts for His thoughts. And the Word begins to command how you think instead of your natural human background. To the point where after a while, I mean, Gloria and I have been living this way and none other for a long, long time now. And our thinking is ordered. I hear somebody say something. I hear something on television. It doesn't trigger my, oh my God, what now, like it used to. It triggers something out of the Word. Yeah, but I'll tell you what the Word of God says about that. Instead of being the other way around, the Word of God says, yeah, but now let me think. No, I don't hear it that way. It's turned around the other way now. I hear what the world is saying and what they see is happening. Yeah, but let me tell you what God has already said about that. I know how that's going to come out. I know where it's going. And I'm not going there. And the fact that it's going there and God needs me, my family, this ministry, to get in there and do something about the stealing, killing, and destroying, the death that Satan is trying to affect and infect the world's population with. And I take my assignment and go in there. It can't do anything but increase me. I'm not going to decrease by falling into that death flow. I remember Jerry Seville taught it like this. He said, the world is in a negative flow. It's going the wrong way. And if you just relax, you just go downstream with it. And you just wind up where everybody else does, sick, broke, and dead. But he said, when you start living by faith, whoa. He said, you get that faith paddle and you get that canoe turned around. And you going upstream. He said, you get tired. I'm tired of this old faith stuff. He said, well, she'll just finally swing and go right back where it was. No, glory be. No, I'm not going that way. Praise God. I tell you, I watched Jerry paddle that boat upstream. I got so excited. And here I am 25 years later, and I'm still talking about that. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what happens when it renews your mind. Well, you don't have to continue with just a paddle. You keep believing God, and your faith will put a motor on that boat. And then the love of God begins to be the fuel in that engine. And that thing, your engine will grow. You're going upstream faster than they're going downstream. And calling them over, putting them in your boat. Now your boat's getting bigger. First thing you know, you look out there, you got some wings on this thing. You get her up out of that drag. You get her up out of that river going the wrong way. And soon, son, we're headed on someplace. I decided I was going to get a seaplane rating. I got all the other ratings, you know, but I never get a seaplane rating. And last week, praise God, We got out of one end of the lake. We can, the lake where our ministry is, there in Fort Worth, Eagle Mountain Lake. And I turned final, came over the dam. Oh, I wasn't any. How about high is that? About high is the top of that, top of the opening there on the stage. Right over the dam. And touched down with a water landing. I thought, yeah, I ought to have been doing this a long time ago. Oh, I'll tell you, this is a kick, you know. Well, I got the whole lake stretched out there in front of me. Usually when I land, you know, you you come to the end of the runway. That's it. But look at my runway. My goodness. So we just put the power in and took off, flew a little way and put it back in the water. I did about 7 takeoff and landings. Splash up, splash up, splash up. Power. And that little engine on that little amphibious airplane was a whole lot more powerful than the flow of that water. Now I get out in there and shut that engine off, and it'll just turn around and head down the river just like Jerry said it would. But you turn around and put some power on this thing, and I hold in my hand, my brother and sister, the power of life. It is God that giveth thee the power, the empowerment to get wealth. And wealth is more than just 2 cars and 3 TVs. Instead of 1 car and 1 TV.
Right.
Has a whole lot more to do with it than that. In fact, you can have lots and lots and lots of money and just be a poor man with money. You ain't got any wealth. You don't have wealth until you know what to do with it. And you don't know what to do with it if you don't think like God. And I'm always amused when I see people that decide they're going to be very benevolent. Give $1 billion, but he's got it figured out so it don't cost him anything. They don't work that way. Now, it's good to read over this and meditate on it. And God said, man be in our image, after our likeness. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female. That's the way it's supposed to be. Male and female. Created he them. Now that wouldn't have any bearing on anything, male and female, if verse 28 wasn't involved. Now here is the authority to have dominion. Now the authority is one thing. And the power is something else again. Every believer has authority over the devil. Every principality, every power, every ruler of darkness, and every wicked spirit in heavenly places, every born-again child of God has authority over that whole operation with the name and in the name of Jesus. Amen? But that's only half of the equation. Every police officer out in that street today, the very day that he graduated from the academy and when he became an officer on this police force, I don't care what police force is, we're in Branson, let's just talk about Branson, became an officer, he has the authority to control traffic. He can walk out there in the street and hold up his hand. You're supposed to stop, and you're going to get punished if you don't. Particularly if you run over him and kill him. Huh? You're answerable to that. But now this policeman with the authority held up his hand to stop you, and you're driving a 4,000-pound vehicle somewhere between 10 and 120 miles an hour, and he's holding up his hand? I don't think so. Even though he has the power, and you'll be punished if you don't stop. It'll either be a traffic violation or murder. But you take that same police officer and put him in an Abrams tank and put him out there in the middle of the street, and he holds his hand up and you don't stop. Try to run over him now. He has the power to stop you. Man, he loads that thing, and you don't stop. I'm going to tell you something. You are about to be forgotten entirely. A small spot on some page in history, because you don't even exist on this earth anymore. Why? Because of the awesome power that somebody has put in this man's command. Amen. Now, when you see a believer that has the authority in the name of Jesus to stop the devil, that's fine. But you take that same believer and you fill him or her with the Holy Ghost and power. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power to be a witness. Power. Amen. Now, that's the believer with the authority inside a fighting vehicle. Praise God. Not only has the authority, but has the power to back it. Personally. So, where is that awesome authority? And on what basis is the Holy Spirit in you to carry that out? Where is the foundation to that? Where does that stand? It has to stand on this rock, or are we off out in left field somewhere? And it's all in the beginning. It started right there. He created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Now, how did God create him? Same way he created everything else, with the words of his mouth. But notice the words that gave life and transferred man's spirit being out of the spirit being of God. When God created all this other, he did it by image. When he created man, he did it by his own image. He reproduced himself. So he did so with words. But notice those words. They are words of image and dominion. That was the word seed that brought life to the human man and woman. Now, I mentioned this about male and female. When you come up to that place, just having created them, the male and the female, we haven't introduced anything any further than that. Hey, it could just kind of go any different direction. But now, the next verse. And now they're alive. The words in the 26th verse, and once God spoke that, then the spirit of life had been spoken by God's words. You remember Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." The spirit of life had been breathed into this man. Now the body was alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life, and it is the words of Spirit and life that give life to the natural flesh world. And that's what happened in the very beginning. So now, the man has become a living being. He's a spirit in the very image of God. God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul made up of his will, his emotions, and his mind. And now he is in a physical earth suit body that depends totally on him for its life and actions. The body cannot live without you in it. But you can live without that body very well. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is a dead body. And until the resurrection, it's going to stay dead. Until God pairs it up again with you, refitted for future use. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you get all the picture of that. Now the next verse is when you take the authority and you put him in the tank. You put him in the fighting vehicle. You put him in the power mode. And God blessed them. The word blessing means to empower. And God empowered them and said, now, Brother Keith Moore, I heard Brother Keith preach this, and then just as soon as I could get to him after that, we sat down and talked about it. I wanted to hear him out more and more on that little word B-E. Back in 1968, I had a meeting in a very small town there in Texas, and we were having difficulty finding a place to have our meeting, and so we rented a synagogue, and it was my goodness, what a blessing that was, and they were so thrilled for us to have our meeting in there, and we were thrilled to be there. And all the goodies they had in that synagogue, man, I'm looking at that, all those Jewish scriptures and everything. This is back in 68, and I was so hungry for those things. And they weren't as readily available like they are now, the different translations and the complete Jewish Bible that's been finished in years since then and all of that. But, man, I was digging around in there, and I got to these two verses right here. Oh my goodness. The King James says, "Let there be light." You hear the word "be" is in there. Let there be. Well, this was older English way of attempting to express the power in that. The Hebrew scripture just simply says, "And God said, light, be, light was." God saw it was good. That's powerful, isn't it? Well, and Brother Keith and I started just looking all over the Bible, everywhere we could find something about B. And we ran across amen, the word amen or amen. What does that mean? Huh? So what? You pray that prayer and you get done and you say, prayer be. Do you remember the example we talked about last night? Jesus spoke the desired end results of that tree, turned around and walked off. That is it as far as he's concerned. Well, then he later said, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. It's the same process, same way of thinking. He said, man, be. Then you come down in here and he said, now, and God said unto them, fruitful, be. Man, be. Light, be. Do you see this is all the same power? It is the very glory of God, the creative, wondrous glory of himself in action, and it doesn't change when he's talking to man. It's the same glory. It's the same creation. It's the same power. He's created this man in his image, and now he's empowering him with this same creative power that he created all of this. He is imparting it into him with which to rule it and recreate it when it needs it. The same bees. Go look for it. Jesus would say, be healed. Be made whole. There's that little bee just flying around all over this whole thing, man. That bee is in everything when you find it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, said it twice, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things. Believe that be, he said, is coming to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. It's the same be power. God blessed him and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Replenish it. It's very strange to me that people immediately think about, well, the earth needs children. I guess he's talking about heaven, but he said replenish. Does that mean it was... Now, you just opened up a can of worms that has very little to do with you. And you've taken the word replenish out of context. The word replenish, now let me give it to you. You can write it down here. You could do some studying on your own. Hallelujah. I know you do. I know you study. I'm just pulling your chain, stirring you up. Praise God. Replenish. To perpetually renew and supply. Now, the word renew is there. You use something in this natural realm, most particularly after the curse of began to affect it and begin to bring destruction to it. But the natural world, God created the natural physical body to replenish every cell in it every 7 to 11 years. It's replenishing all the time. The whole thing is that you use it and it needs to be replenished. God created everything in this world, everything that is alive, all the way from the smallest bug to the biggest animal, all the plant life, everything here. He created it to need nourishment for restoration. And he created food for it to be nourished with. Amen? You know it's true. Everything alive has to be fed. Why did he create it like that? Because he's smarter than you. He knew what he was doing to be created like that. So quit trying to figure out your own stuff to eat and go see what he said would nourish your body. Brother, what is it about that you don't understand? If it wasn't food 200 years ago, it ain't food now. So, replenish. There's bee power in that scripture. There's 2 or 3 bees in there that provides for that replenishing. Replenish the earth, subdue it, take dominion over it. Don't let the thing go wild on you. Somebody will figure out global warming It doesn't have anything to do with anything. One of the biggest cons. But back in the 70s, it was global freezing. Oh, yeah, all the scientific models and everything, the whole world going back into the ice age. We're all going to freeze to death by 1985. But thank God that's when global warming hit. Oh. Hey, come on, wake up, will you? I like what one of my older brothers, Abraham Lincoln, said. He said, you can fool all the people sometimes. Some of the people all the time. You can't fool us all the time. Amen. Some of us are going to wake up. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let me give you a little clue here. You in a hurry?
No.
Okay. Let me stop here and give you a little bit of a clue. You know how to tell that it's a con? You don't need a scientist to let you know. Had it been for real... Now, there's some people in there that honestly believe the thing. But it's the cons that are pushing it. How do I know? Had they been real and truthful and honest and honestly trying to save this planet and to help, they would have shouted at the rooftops when it began to cool down. Instead of trying to hide it and lie about it, we got to keep this con going. They ought to have newspaper headlines 4 inches tall. It's cooling off! If we had made us a disaster movie out of it, that's the way it would have ended. We won! But no, you got to start hiding it, and you got to start cheating on the numbers here somewhere. Why? Because this is going to stop the money flow. The little people have found us out. Yeah. Well, anyway, I tell you what, the big one knew all the time, brother. And you go to crying out to him, and he'll change things. Now, be fruitful, multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. How am I supposed to do that? I'm supposed to have dominion over everything on this earth. I'm supposed to subdue the earth. How under God's heaven am I supposed to do that? With the blessing power. The same power he created is in and on you. Now, Adam did something that interrupted that blessing flow. And this is where you come in. This is what's important about male and female created he them. Because if you try to separate that, and if you make it male and male and female, that the power don't work. You have stopped the blessing power. And when you do, you just cause all kinds of chaos. You know it, and I know it. Well, Brother Copeland, what do I do about this horrible thing that's on the inside of me that just tells me that I'm not a man, I'm a woman? The same thing about that horrible thing on the inside of that fellow that tells him he's a killer. And that horrible thing that's on the inside of somebody that he just can't help it. He just has to rape little children. Or another one just can't help it. I don't care what I've got. I've got to steal something to be satisfied. There ain't none of that come from God. You weren't created like that. And the power of the blessing in Jesus will change it. Yes. And bring it in line and deliver. Amen. Praise God. I preached in them. I was so honored to be invited by a black congregation, a black pastor in Fort Worth, Pastor R.L. Rogers, to be the evening speaker on Sunday evening on Black History Sunday. My good, I've always wanted to preach on Black History Sunday. But I wasn't going to just go butt in someplace. But I had that opportunity. I was just so blessed. Well, glory. Let's pray for a moment. Pray in the Spirit with me. Get Brondos Gishipalolo Kupopa. Bredo Gligo Buga Lala Lenglin Dingring Gishdigishtuda Sitapa. Porto to Kapala Kamatidi Langlandini Gumbala Babola. What is it, Lord? Quotere Gidili Hili Amanga. Spotakarate Kirihito. Zombra, zombra, zombra. Ha-ha. Kadidikala makum kopakasa. Yishdegasishikakala. Ngamanadigli, I bind you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This congregation gathers itself together as a solid front against you. We bind you and call you down from your place of authority. And by the power and authority of that name, you desist in your maneuvers. Stop! In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I believe the Lord will show us what just happened there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, I will. I'll tell you about that later. Let's get back over in here. We must go to this place and do it right now. The blessing in the 28th verse was interrupted by what Adam did. What did Adam do? There was a simple process of thought, words, and action that led him to steal. He disregarded what God had said to him. He heard what Satan said to his wife. He heard what his wife said to Satan, standing there knowing better, and he did nothing. The scripture says the woman was deceived, the man was not. She turned and gave him to eat there with him. He wasn't off tending the garden somewhere. He was right there with her, and he didn't say anything, and he knew better than what he was hearing. Now, that when he acted on that, the sin was he was required to see to that entire garden. He was to keep that garden by the creative power of God. He walked in the glory of that power. It was so on him that he had never seen her body. He had never seen his own flesh. You could see the glory of God. He was crowned with his glory. And when you see God, the prophets of old saw him and said, he's a fire from his loins up and he's a fire from his loins down with the glory. He is aflame with the glory. And out of his hands are lightning-like shafts of splendor. And therein is the hiding place of his power. That power is called blessing. It's called empowerment. And he crowned that man with it and said, be like me. And when you saw Adam, when you saw his wife, they were a fire than a flame. They had never seen their naked bodies. Their bodies were not vulnerable. They were clothed in light. Hallelujah. Light energy. Words are not big enough. I can say all this in tongues and pretty well get it said, but then you run out of language words. But he was required to use the blessing in this garden for all the garden, and he could eat of all the trees. All those trees were his, except one. That's God's tree. And his tree was in the center of the garden. You don't just go in there and pick his tree anytime you want. It ain't yours, Jack. You understand that? Now, what is it about that you don't get? That's called theft. I mean, you may be good friends and all that, but you don't just come in and steal my money and say, God bless you, brother. Give me my money back. It's theft, even if we smile about it. You're still stealing. The fruit of God's tree, even though he was responsible for the faith care of this tree, the fruit on that tree was Adam's tithe. So what happens when he took God's tithe? He picked that green. It was not ready to eat. He picked it. And he ate it. And God said, a man that keeps and eats the tithe robs God. That first sin culminated in thought and words and actions until he committed the act of a thief. What happened? It interrupted that glory. Now that's where the problem comes in. Not the fact that he ate the fruit. The problem in it is the glory wouldn't function in that environment. It wasn't created for sin. It wasn't created for disobedience. This is flow. This is life flow. That was an act of death. So what happens when you... What is sin? Anything that disrupts that blessing. Check it out. You go check it out in the Scripture. Why is God against sin? Because he don't want you having a good time? That isn't a good time. No. It's because it'll kill you. He's trying to keep you from killing yourself. These forces are in your spirit. But when you cross them in thought and word and deed, what happens in your spirit? Your spirit immediately, through what's called your conscience, begins to work to get you to repent of that and get that out of here. I mean, you have balled up the system. You've gotten out of forgiveness. You've gotten crosswise of love. And it is love that empowers faith. It is love that empowers the blessing. It is love that empowers it. It's love that subdues. It's love that energizes. It's love that gives life. Because it's God. And when you get crossways of the way he created it, you put water in your gas tank and the car's going to quit. You understand? And every light on that panel is screaming at you, do something now. Yeah. And your spirit is screaming at you, repent, get this, stop it now. All the faith you had against that mountain is withdrawn from the mountain and pulled in here to work in you to get you to repent and come against this thing and get it out because you've got death working in you. And all your faith projects will just have to go on hold because this is working in here, killing your faith. It's killing your insides. Why? It has stopped the force of the power of God. It has stopped faith. Do you ever get to the place where you said, brother, I don't know why. I just seem like I just don't have any faith. Well, Wonder why? Faith worketh by love. Go check it out. Forgive if you have aught against any. Now, you don't have nothing to do with your feelings. Get over that feeling mess. Has nothing to do with the way you feel. You don't put fuel in your car because of the way it smells.
But I like that sweet-smelling pink gas.
Yeah, but the sweet-smelling pink gas is destroying your engine.
I don't care. I like it. Besides that, it's cheap. See, I can put the sweet-smelling pink gas in my car, and I can drive twice as further.
Really? What about when it quits halfway there? It has nothing to do with the way it feels. Has nothing to do with the way it smells. Has nothing to do with the way it looks. It has nothing to do with anything to do out there in this whole world. It has to do with command, authority, and power. The system is made to bless. It wasn't made to house and harbor sin and death and stealing, killing, and destroy. That was introduced from the outside. So now, let's take us a look here. Go on over. Now it's been broken. God moves immediately. He starts working immediately to get the blessing back into place. Then we see it right after the flood. May I make a suggestion to you? Every time you see something come up on one of the documentary channels about the flood or the Bible or the teenage years of Jesus, don't get curious and start watching that stuff. That ain't nothing but a con, brother. Get off of that. You let the Spirit of God reveal to you out of His Word. Now then, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Where have we heard that? So now the blessing was on Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They were blessed. Then he talked about subduing the earth and having dominion over it. Replenish it. Fix it. Ham and Japheth and Noah, but really we're more dependent on Shem, Ham, and Japheth because actually that's the nations, correct? So when you hear God speak of the nation, all the nations shall be blessed. You're talking about three people, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You've got to be kin to one of them. Jesse and me kin to all three. He said we are. Amen. Shem stayed with the blessing. The other two blew it off just like Adam did. And out of Ham and Japheth came the Babylonian system of man trying to replenish himself without God by his own natural means, which meant, now this is the birth of social science, social justice, social healing, social religion, socialism, social anything. Because it's social. All based on our coming together, pooling our resources, and ta-da, we'll heal ourselves. Who needs God? We don't really know whether there is one or not. Now, there was a guy that engineered this, and his name was Nimrod. Oh, brother. The first king introduced the first socialism. There's only two forms of government on the earth. It's the blessing of the Lord and socialism. Whether that socialism is headed up by the Nazi Party or the Communist Party or any man-made party, it don't make any difference who it is. It's socialism. And one of the ways you know it is because one of the first things they do is get together and vote God out. They won't even let Jesus come to his own party. Have a birthday for a guy and then don't let him come. Boy, I mean, that's weird, ain't it? So, it all began right there. Now, Shem became the Lord Mayor of Jerusalem. At that time, in the English Bible, it's called Salem. He became the Lord Mayor. He founded the school of the prophets. He's teaching the blessing. The title of Lord Mayor, Ruler, King, all of those titles are rolled up into one called Melchizedek. Shem was Melchizedek. And God called him to take elements of covenant, because without those elements, Abram could never have. Without the blood and the bread, he couldn't mentally accept what Shem was about to say to him. And he came to him and he said, "Blessed, oh God, be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." And this is when Abram found out what the Apostle Paul wrote in Hebrews 4:16. It is a faith that it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. What? Abraham became heir of the world because he believed what Melchizedek said. He believed what Shem said. And at that moment, Shem passed that blessing and he became the father of faith at that point. And in him, we got Ham and Japheth. I started to say Ham and Jephro. Yeah, we got Jephro back. Amen. The blessing. The blessing. Say it, the blessing.
Blessing.
Replenishing power. The power of the Holy Ghost.
The
anointing.
The
dunamis. The self-generizing. Self-energizing. Perpetual. Supernatural. Power. Explosive in nature. And from that word, we get dynamo. And from that word, we get dynamite. Dynamite was named after dunamis power. That's the blessing of God in operation. It's that power that got you born again and recreated you from darkness to light. So now, here is this man, and we come to this place. Look at chapter 12. Socialism is born in chapter 11. And God came down and said, "What are they doing?" Now, he blessed Shem, Ham, and Japheth? Then he came down in chapter 11. They said, let's build us a city and a tower. In verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3, they said to one another, Huh? They weren't talking to God. Didn't have nothing to do with God. They said to one another, let us make brick. What's the matter with stone? No, we're going to do this our way. God uses stone, we make brick. Well, what's so significant about that? All the bricks are just alike. And some of them are good and some of them are not so good. But the important thing is they're man-made. And somebody's got to make them. And it ain't going to be the king. The king's going to make the money off of them because this is the only thing he says you can build your house out of. Do I need to follow this further? No, because you already know the system. You already see it. It's the same thing. I'm going to tell you something. The other form of government isn't capitalism either. Now, when you get into God's form of government, it is free enterprise. God is interested in liberty. Amen. And He'll give you the working knowledge of the system. But just to make money is just more back to this, because somebody is going to figure out that if I make more bricks than anybody else, I'm going to make the money. Well, it's still us making bricks. So, notice this now. They said, let's build a city and a tower. Let's make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth. Well, God told them to go over the whole earth. They don't want to go over the whole earth. They want to gather up out here in their spot. So the Lord came down and He said one word, Babel, meaning confusion. Now, it's been said that at that moment, somebody began to speak French and somebody began to speak German and somebody get it. No. That was the eventual outcome of it all. Because they began to separate. That they couldn't understand one another. Even speaking the same language, confusion had set in. Why? Because all of a sudden somebody had an alternative thought. And once you do, is it this or is that? Is that right? Well, I don't know. Maybe this is right. Now you're just standing there doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just all get together. Now, when God said that, it capped that tower. It put a cap from that day to this. And it will be here until the final hour. And this thing is totally changed and Satan is wiped out of here. And it comes back under the millennial reign of Christ Jesus. That cap is going to be there. And that social system, I don't care under what name it's operating at the time, whether it's a king or whether it's some party or that party or the other party, that social system of meeting man's needs without God, that thing can only get so big. The tower got so big and it fell. The city got so big and finally they left. Well, Brother Copeland, I just don't understand that. Yeah, you do. You just don't realize you do. I can stand up in front, and we're all pretty well on the same page here. But I can stand up and say love and get 500 different mental ideas of what I said. I was talking about God and you're thinking about last night late. Huh? Yeah. But I said the same word and you heard the same word.
But now, since there's all these different kinds of ideas, now there's confusion entered into the message. Unless we go to the Word of God and establish exactly what I meant. You understand what I meant. We're reading exactly the same thing. Now, on the power of God and solid rock, we can build. Without confusion. Religion introduces social confusion again. That's reading there's so many different kinds. Well, I'm of this stream. Well, I'm of that stream. Religious correctness is more puke to my ears than political correctness. And political correctness is pukey enough. But religious correctness, oh, I despise it and I hate it with every fiber of my being. That's another message for another day. All of this brings us down. Compare this now. I just drew a line from verse 4 across the page of my Bible all the way down into chapter 12 from 11:4. Let us go build a city and a tower and let us make us a name. Let us make. Did I talk to you about that last night? I make money. I make living. I make sales. I make deals. I'm a self-made man. Let's make us a name. Or he made his name great. Let us make us a name. You come down here to chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. I will make of thee a great nation. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I empower you to subdue the earth, to have dominion over it and replenish it. I will do the making here. I will make you a name. Relax. It isn't that he doesn't want you exalted. He don't want you exalting you. You have to step on somebody to exalt you. He will exalt you by raising, allowing and empowering you to raise somebody up. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in this marked difference, all of this is set up to right here in the book of Genesis, God sets in motion. And it does not change all the way through the entire rest of the Bible. Had Adam not blown that blessing off, the whole Bible would have been about 4 chapters long. And the rest of it, oh, it'd have been bigger than this. The rest of it would have been the blessing in action. Glory to God, man. Well, the rest of the Bible is God restoring the blessing and empowerment back on His family where it belonged first place. It gets you born again. Get you baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, Jesus had to be made that curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come on you and me. And we might be heirs according to this promise. Hallelujah. Now, the precept of it is right there. It's been so misunderstood, and the reason it's been so misunderstood, well, you know, like Brother Cap said, the Bible is so simple, you have to have help to misunderstand it. And we've had a lot of high-priced help over the years, helping us misunderstand the word no. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. You shall be a carrier of this supernatural power of be replenished. You follow me here now? Now notice this. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I
will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. You shall be my instrument of blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. Now come on, get into the middle of this with me. Get in the flow of it. Hear what God is saying. Remember we read last night? If you're seeking God and you're seeking righteousness, seeking the Lord, look at the rock from where you came. Look unto your father Abraham. I called him alone and blessed him, and I'll make his waste places like the Garden of Eden. So that's what the blessing is supposed to do. Was there any sickness in that garden? Then the power of the blessing is to remove the curse of sickness and disease, and the blessing is to heal. So the healing ministry of Jesus is part of the blessing. Was there any death in that garden? No. Well, then the blessing, the new birth, is part of the blessing, man. Brings life. Now, he said, I called him, I will bless him. Now, listen. I will make him a name, and he will be a blessing. And those that, now I'm standing right here in front of Charles Smithwick, and we've been partners, what, 20 years, 25? And close friends for 15, 18, 20 of that, something like that. And there's things we do together. There's things we team up and believe God together. And man, and it works. Any two of you on earth shall agree, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall come to pass of my Father, shall be done for them of my Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's what God's talking about right there about Abraham. I called him. I called one man. But if you will come help him be a blessing, I will put the same blessing on you that's on him. And on his seed after him. You come bless. You come alongside. I not only want to be blessed, but I want to be a blessing. I want to move in this thing. I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to come. God called Keith Moore. Well, I am. God called me to come help Keith. I'm going to get the same blessing and anointing working in me and on me as he got working on him. Why? I'm helping him do what God called him to do. And when we connect spirit, soul, and body here. Tracy Harris, we're partners. Keith Butler, we're partners. And when we come together, the blessing is multiplied. How much? Well, one put 1,000 to flight. That's a pretty strong blessing. But two do what?
1,000. Yes, sir.
So it didn't just double. So now what? Go back to that scripture again. I will bless them that bless you, but I'll curse him that curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Galatians 3:8 said that God preach the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus came preaching. That's what I'm preaching here this morning, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the blessing himself. Hallelujah. And when he sets an assignment, I will bless them that bless you. It's not a little of, it's equal to. We joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. But now notice what else he said. Those that try to stop you, I'll stop them. Now notice, how are they going to try to stop you? With the curse. That's what Satan's the Lord over, is this Babylonian system that's operating in the curse. Turn over to Jeremiah 17. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man. So what's he talking about? This bunch of men that decided they would make a name, they would build a city, they would build a tower, they would protect themselves, they would decide where they go, they do it. What are they doing? They walked away from the blessing and back into that curse that Adam opened the door to in the first place. So, cursed be the man that trusts in man. Cursed be the man that looks to the association or the socialism of man to meet his needs. That's really pretty simple, isn't it? Yeah. When you connect it together, the word's real plain about it. You don't have to wonder what it is or where it came from. But I want you to notice who this man is. Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, or his way of doing things, his ways of management, whose heart departed from the Lord. This is not just some sinner boy out there that don't know anything. This man has a covenant with God, but he's gotten his mind off God's word. He's gotten his mind off God's way of doing things. He's got his mind off of God being his source, and he's looking to social justice. He's looking to socialism. He's looking to the economy. He's looking to something else.
Right.
He's departed from God's word. He is like a heath in the desert. A heath is a little shrub, a little stunted bush. And shall not see when good comes. He can't hear from God. He's paying too much attention to himself, trying to get some man to come out there and help him. Well, what would happen? Notice this. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land, not inhabited. What would happen if man come poured water on him? It just turned to salt water. It'd kill him. He can't see anything but himself. God's working with him, trying to tell him what to do, but he don't hear it. His yeah butt's in the way. Oh yeah, he knows God. He knows the word of God. But he's a stranger from the covenants of promise and from the commonwealth of Israel, without hope and without God in the world. Why? Because he's got his eye on the social system. Blessed, oh dear God. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He's like a tree planted by the water that spreads out her roots by the river and does not see when the drought comes. The other guy can't see the good. This guy don't see the bad. Why? He's not looking at the things that are the way they are. While we look not at those temporary things, but we look at eternal things through the eye of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, it's plain. Can't you see the two systems in operation? Well, now, this flows all the way through. Let's go over to the book of Philippians. Chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Now, where did that church come from in Philippi? What gave birth to that church? Anybody remember? Paul was in jail in Philippi. And he and Silas were in stocks in the dungeon of that prison in that city. And at midnight, they were singing praises unto God. He wasn't being like a little heath out in the desert. I don't understand this. I come down here to preach. I'll tell you, Paul, the next time you have a vision of somebody waving for us to come, don't tell me about it, my God. Every time I go with you someplace, they beat me up and put me in jail. I tell you, you just bring a bad name on the gospel. That ain't what they were doing. They had opportunity to do that. What happened? In that prison, at midnight, Paul and Silas' moment came. God sent them into that socialistic hellhole. And they got thrown into prison. But in the middle of that prison, their moment came. And they're singing and praising God at midnight, and the prisoners heard them. So this wasn't no little thing just between the two of them. All the prisoners heard, and the power of God. What was that power? The blessing power. The power to deliver. The Garden of Eden don't have dungeons and jails and stocks and whipping you in it. That's the curse, brother. And the blessing was released in that place that night. The anointing on these apostles came into power, and it shook the earth.
Yes.
And shook that old jail.
Yes, amen.
All the doors swung open. But there was so much anointing coming out of that dungeon, coming out of those two men. It didn't come down there from heaven. It came out of those two men, came out of those apostles that were praising God at midnight and worshiping at the top of their voices. Praise God. They knew their hour had come. They knew something about to happen in this place, and they got so much praise in them, they can't stand it. And when it broke, man, it broke jail, it broke locks and chains, it broke everything in sight. But there was so much power about it, nobody could move. Otherwise, that'd have been an empty place in 2.5 seconds. Because there are no searchlights in those days. That place is dark, and the jail doors open. I am gone. You understand? This jail is full of people. Some of them not so good people. And getting out is a big thing. We're gone. But there's so much power present, they couldn't move. They were all there. That jailer and all of those cons, all of those inmates, political prisoners, religious prisoners, thieves, murderers, all that bunch of stalwart citizens became the first members of the First Church of the Blessing in Philippi. And that jailer became its pastor.
Yes, sir.
No wonder they loved that apostle so. Now, when thinking that, listen to these words. What must have been charging through their hearts as they read this letter? Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your partnership in the gospel. What is the gospel? The preaching of the blessing that brings salvation, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, healing for the body, redemption and deliverance from sin, sickness, demons, fear, poverty, and all of the curse. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. When did it begin? It began at midnight in that prison, praise God. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet. Underline the word meet and write around there somewhere able, A-B-L-E, or enabled me. Even as I am able to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. There's a divine connection there. It was made in that prison. I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds. Well, now that might not sound so big to you and me, but I want you to know it was big to them. They knew what happened when he was in bonds. They were there. They saw it. It broke the chains off of them too. In the same jail, the same night, under the same power, they saw it. In my bonds, and in the defense, and in the confirmation of the gospel. How is the gospel confirmed? And he went with, and he went working with the word. Confirming with signs following. Hold your place there. Let's go read that word for word. Last chapter of the book of Mark. They went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with. You see the word them there is italicized. He wasn't working with them. Not primarily. Because if he had just been working with them, maybe it ended with them. Well, that's been preached. That's not true, but that's been preached. But the word them there was added by the translators. Well, they added it by their privilege. I got the same privilege. Take it out. So notice what it says. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word. He was working with the word, not just them and their preaching of the word. He was working with the word. He commanded them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach what? Blessed! And he confirmed the word with signs following. Now back over there to Philippians chapter 1. In my bonds. Well, they knew the power that came on him in his bonds. In the defense. I'll tell you the gospel and the blessing and the power of God in and on that man. I'm telling you, I don't care where he stood up and preached. There was a defense for the gospel that is still holding for you and me today when we stand on the words in this book. He proved the covenant of it. And in confirmation of the gospel are the signs and wonders. God working with his word. When it's preached. You are all partakers of my grace. They're looking at that and they say, you mean to tell me the same power that was on him that night in that dungeon because I have come along beside him to bless him in his work and help him with this? Now I'm blessed with that same power. Well, isn't that what God told Abram?
Yes, amen.
I'll bless them that bless you. Those that come in and help you, I'll the same blessing on you. Come on them. I didn't do this just to make somebody out of you. I did this to make somebody out of everybody.
Yes.
In one common blessing call. And those that try to use the curse to stop you, that curse will come right back on them if you'll stand on my word and go forward. I'll stop them. Actually, he doesn't even have to. You stand on the word of God and the curse just bounces off you and heads right back where it came from. And it just increases on them. Well, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for somebody to be cursed. I'm looking for them to turn around and come on over and get in this thing, man. Praise God. I used to be a fool, too. Would be today if it wasn't for this book. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's been the process. Those that came alongside Jesus, what happened? As they helped him, his anointing came on them. It's the same process today. Of course, religious correctness. Oh, well, Brother Copeland, you have to be humble about this. You're humble. Oh, yes. And proud of it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not. When I talk like this, I'm not being egotistical. The natural world don't know the difference between faith and pride or egotism. They don't know the difference in it. And when you speak boldly of what God will do, I've heard men say it. I heard one say it on television not too long ago. Well, after all, who on earth could possibly know the will of God? And I said, I do. I talked to him this morning. I know a whole lot of it about you. I didn't get that from God. I just been listening to you. I know where you at. But you could come on over here. Knowing the will of God at heart. Not at all. But it's very difficult when you begin an attempt to find out the will of God on your terms. It just don't work like that. Because you're still over here with one foot in the social system thinking, well, I'll find out what the will of God is here. If it fits in my plans, I'm going to do it. But, you know, he might call me to China or something. Well, he might do it. And if he does, it's going to be the most glorious place on earth for you. Because your viewpoint of some place on earth is totally different from his. And he's not calling you over there to turn in to what they are. He's calling you over there to help them turn into what he is. Amen. Your time has come. When he calls you to a certain place, your time has come. It's time for you to expand. It's time for you to prosper. It's time for you to become empowered. It's time. God's ready for you. That's the reason he's calling you. And you begin to hear something from God and you think, hey, man, me? You won't. What? You want me to teach the Bible? No. God, I'm not qualified. That's all that's worth. I know I went through all that. God knew what you was qualified to do before he called you.
Amen.
If you was qualified anymore, he may not have messed with you. The more of those kind of qualifications you've got, the... No, Lord, I ain't going to say that. No, I ain't going to say that. Well, I'll just tell you what the Apostle Paul... No, I ain't going to even tell you that either. No.
I'll tell Mac. Don't tell none of them. You remember when the Apostle Paul was talking about all his qualifications? You remember what he called it? Dung. No wonder it stinks to God when you go to tell him how educated you are or how educated you're not.
There's a long time God had to talk to me like this.
And who wants to carry all that around with him?
That's right.
No, he said, I've cut all that loose. Turn my back on it, forsake it, and I'm here I am. And he said, I'm not here based on all that teaching and all that training and all of that garbage trash. And the Greek word is just dumb. You can ease up on it if you want to, but that ain't the way he said it. Now, to him, that's exactly what it meant. That is nothing but trash. And when God calls you, don't try the trash excuse. I'm not qualified. Thank God. I'm here, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
If this is my moment, you calling me into the fight, glory to God, here I come. Amen. I'm coming in the game. It's my moment. I've been sitting on that bench. I've been praying. I've been practicing. I've been working. I've been getting myself ready and sitting on the bench and sitting on the bench. And everybody out there is just playing and banging and breaking heads. And here I sit on this dumb bench. No, most Christians are, oh, God, I hope he don't see me. Oh, maybe I better get onto this bench. He might call me into the game and somebody might hurt me. I won't suffer. I don't want to suffer. This is not suffering. This is victory. Back in the football days. Oh, yeah, we're suffering, but I didn't know it. I was hurting from head to foot. My hair hurt. My eyes hurt. My ears hurt. Big knots on me all over. Bruises all over. It's called a game. And we're going to suffer come Friday night or Saturday night, whenever your school plays. We're going to suffer. Well, we wasn't suffering. We're going to bring some suffering on another team. We're going to out-suffer somebody. Yeah, I ain't looking. My suffering, I forget that. I'm going to hurt somebody. I remember when John wanted to play hockey, and I thought, oh, no, man. So we suited him up and strapped his skates on him, and I'm standing there with that stick. I'm going to hand him. I thought, well, I don't really know where I want to hand him this stick or not. You don't maybe don't know John, like. Oh, but I thought, well, okay, here it goes. And I hand him that stick, and he took good. I said, no, now, John, I wish. Okay. Well, he wasn't looking to sit on the bench because he's afraid somebody's going to hit him. He might hit me with that stick. Don't you know the devil's big and he's mean and he'll take my money away from me? You ain't got any money. Everything you got was borrowed. I was standing there with a friend of mine. His son played on the same team John did. And that boy skated up there to the fence, and he and I were standing there talking. We were close friends and watching our boys play. And his son skated up there. He said, Daddy, and these boys are 14. He said, Daddy, you see that number, whatever that other boy's number was. He said, yeah. He said, I'm going to hit him with this stick as hard as I can, and I'm going to skate over to the penalty box, and I just wanted you to know it before I did it. And turn around and skate it off, and his dad is trying to get him back, and he skated and skated right straight to that kid and just bam, and just threw his stick down and sat down in the penalty box.
Well, that wasn't him doing the suffering, is that us?
When Christians come up with this kind of attitude, this is what thrills me. So when you get guys in prison born again full of the Holy Ghost, they want to know where the fight is. Well, man, where do we go from here? Let's get in it. We ain't got time to cry and squall around about it. Let's go. Well, when that takes place, when your moment has come and God points you in a direction and He says, I want you to do this, I don't care if it's just go next door and help your neighbor or something. Right. Your moment has come and your time of increase has happened, because whatever it takes to prosper and empower that next door neighbor is going to come through your hands. It may be the loaves and the fishes multiplying for his table. It may be all of these different things. There's only one thing you need, and that is the Word of the living God. God will make the blessing. God will make the increase. God will make the power. God will make the deliverance and the salvation. You don't have to save anybody. All you have to be is ready.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody give the Lord a praise this morning. Hallelujah. Our time has come.
I need to show you this morning. Guys, if you will, I'd like to show this clip, please.
Well, Haiti is probably about as close to Satan as you're going to get. As close as I've ever been. There's a tremendous amount of turmoil there, naturally, because of the earthquake. And in 42 seconds, 200,000 people died. The infrastructure of the entire government was squashed. It just, it all came down on top of them. The Imperial Palace was crushed. The place of meeting as far as the legislative committee and all of the officials, were touched, either killed or were their families were touched and maimed or killed. There wasn't anyone that wasn't hurt. KCM was a great supplier of the medical needs that they were given. And because of that, we had an outreach that was just unbelievable. Outreach as far as antibiotics, outreach as far as the surgical trays, the help with the, especially pediatrics. It was just a gift of love that this was needed so badly. And what we have is that now the beginning of a new nation. I really believe that. I really believe that what we have now, and KCM has played such a great role in that, is that because of our hands reaching out for the Lord and helping other people, they're very susceptible to now giving back and now listening, and they were truly grateful to KCM. Anytime that you have the antibiotics, especially because of the type of wounds that there were, these were crush wounds. These were wounds that amputation had to take place. And when that happens, then there needs to be a great deal of antibiotics, a great deal of bandages and things that need to be there. Also, those who were coming in who had already had treatment, you know, by some triage somewhere, were already infected again, and so they needed to have help with that. The reason that it is so important that people understand why it was that big of a thing of KCM and for the role that they played in giving what they did is because it was the essential. There was nothing else there. And if it hadn't been for that, these people would have perished. There was a woman who brought her mother, and her mother was in her late 60s, early 70s. Her shoulder was completely crushed. Her arm was completely broken. Because of the medical that we had by KCM, she was able to have a casting put on that and was able to have things done to her only that could be done in a triage situation with adequate medical help. Otherwise, she would have perished. There were times after times where people would come in with different kinds of infections, or they would come in with a sick child. Many, many children were helped through KCM's involvement. And there were times when people would come in and and bring their children who would be respiratory situations because of the dust and the things that they had not had. The need for hydration, the need for antibiotics, the need for having the IVs and the fluids put into them. And it was because of things that KCM had provided that these people were saved. I could probably have found my way to Haiti on my own, but it was because of KCM. It was because Kenneth called and said, this is what we where you're going. This is what you're going to do. I came to his office, would not go anywhere until he blessed it. And when he blessed me, then I went. I can tell you that I believe, as I believe that there is a God, that there are very few people on this earth that have the kind of authority that Kenneth and Glory have. I have this phrase, it's that the only limitation we have is God's imagination. And actually, even though Kenneth didn't tell me that, I learned that from him. If anyone in the Kenneth Copeland ministry would like to hear that their love and their, what they're extending out is working, then they can hear it from me, because I represent what's going on in Haiti. I can tell you for sure that the outreach there is phenomenal. We are helping. People are being helped physically, mentally, and spiritually. I can tell you that this is not a defeat. This is victory. But I can tell you this, that there is nothing that we cannot do. Nothing. The only limitation we have is God's imagination.
Praise God. Now, I want you to see that. I'm in a different place here. I've never been, in all the years I've been in this ministry, I've never been quite in a place like this before. On one hand, Brother Mac and the Elite CX team, when Mac went to the Lord and the Lord dealt with him about raising up an elite team of 10,000 people that stand together with this ministry and assignments and so forth. Well, I've never had this many assignments before. On one hand, the ministry that we've been in all these years, from the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews, to take people from religion to reality and from spiritual babyhood to adulthood through becoming skillful in the word of righteousness and learning the things like we talked about in here this morning, how we do these things. And as we come together as partners, then that blessing expands. Well, there's that ministry, and it's not being replaced with anything. It's expanding all the time. It is just a huge assignment that's been there for many years. Then, in that assignment is the television ministry. And the Lord instructed through the Elite CX team and through what he said to Glory and me, to build a new high-definition television truck. I have never noticed God being satisfied with second on anything. He invented it all in the first place. Looks to me like he ought to have the best. I got out of the first new airplane that we got. I was so excited about the thing. First trip I took in it, I stopped out there on the ramp. And the joy of the Lord come home, and I just started laughing and dancing out there on the... I was on my way to pay the fuel bill. And I know those people thought I was either crazy or drunk. I don't care what they thought. I didn't care what they thought when I was drunk. Why should I care now that I'm right? And so I'm dancing around. I said, Lord God, a new airplane. Well, I remember just a few days after that, Gloria and Martha sitting right there, and Billy Brim, and we're all sitting, we were there in Augusta, and we were sitting there in that little booth, and I was telling them about what happened to me out there on that ramp just a couple of weeks before. And I said, and I was telling them about a new airplane. They actually make new ones. I didn't know that up until then. All the airplanes I ever had to be reborn. Well, getting people born again is one thing, but cars and airplanes, man, I don't like that. So I was talking about this, and we were laughing about it. And the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, Kenneth, that's the only new airplane I have. Man, that hit me like somebody kicked me in the chest. If anybody ought to have new, it ought to be the body of Christ. Amen. He's the one that ought to have it. It's his in the first place. Amen. Well, that has progressed now on through the Citation 10 and now this television truck, which is it's just coming up on its final stage of being finished and lacked but about another $4 million, and it'll be, what was it, Mac? $3,900,000 or something, and the thing will be finished. State of the art, finest in the world. Well, the first thing you begin to think, well, now wait a minute, we'll have to put that project on the side here for a moment. Then here's the television ministry. Whoa. Because now we've got this thing that's happened there. And the word of the Lord came to me. And he said, I'm assigning you the nation of Haiti. And he turned me to Acts 26:18. And he said, if you accept this assignment, then I will turn that whole island into the lighthouse of the Caribbean. And I said, I accept it, Lord. I don't care what it is. I take it. I have it. I thank you for it. I'll take it now. Well, there's a lot involved in it. A lot involved in it. We're just barely equipped for it. We've been equipping our partners, helping partner in disaster and relief for several years now, ever since Katrina. We learned from Katrina, we got our marching orders there and who we are and what we are and what we're to do in a situation like that. We're not just food and water. We're not just medicine. We carry the blessing of the power of God in there. And he said, you can do all of that and Haiti, you can even get them born again, but you're not going to change things much until you preach the word of faith in there and you get them preaching it. That's what changes things. I said, yes, sir, I accept it. Went through several days and into weeks of prayer. And then the word of the Lord came about it. Acts 26:18. This was part of the calling of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in Christ Jesus. So it's not just salvation, it's the inheritance part of it. Well, it's already working. Our partners are preaching the word of faith in it. And the equipment and so forth, the very next piece of equipment is $1,400,000. I mean, that's... But, well, what are you going to do about the high-definition project? Well, what about our TV broadcast? Are we going to cut back on television so we can... What you'd like to do is, well, let's finish this project before we start that. Hey, there's people dying out here. I ain't got time to cut back. I'm not going to. Now, I don't misunderstand me now. Don't get the wrong idea about this. We are going to do it. The moment I said amen, as far as I was concerned, it is done. I stood up and shouted, Haiti will be saved, praise God. Just like Reinhard did over Africa. And we've been working together now. Reinhard and Annie and Gloria and me and our ministries have been teamed up together now. And over the years that we've been together, almost 25 years now, this ministry, working with that ministry, and Reinhard shouting, Africa shall be saved. 30 million people have come, ministered to, individually counted, not just estimates. These are the people that have been ministered to and prayed with and wrote and filled out their little booklet and been followed up with training on the Word of God and so forth. Since then, we know exactly how many of them there are. There's over 30 million of them. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't going to cut back on that. No, I ain't backing out of Africa just because now I got to go to Haiti. Well, where's God going to get it? I don't care. What do I care where he gets it? That comes from being trained in that Babylonian system because you're used to meeting your own needs. You get to where you depend on him and you trust him. My spiritual father, Oral Roberts, used to tell me, he said, if God tells you to build a building, dig a hole. You ain't mean I got money enough or nothing but to buy the shovel. Go get the shovel if that's all you got. Go! Sit there and wait. God does something. He's already done something. He called you. Amen. T.L. Osborne sitting over the lunch table with me said, Kenneth. And T.L. he could say one or two words and just jerk you up out of your seat, you know. Because you'd walk up to him and say, hey, T.L., how you doing? Glory! Hallelujah! About two or three words like that, and you're on your toes, you know, and you're doing this. We're sitting there at the lunch table. They just came by and got our order. And I'm going to have this nice conversation with the most powerful evangelist on earth in those days, you know. And he said, Kenneth! I said, sir! Would you like to know how to get rich? I said, yeah. I didn't have money enough to get out the door, man. I had to believe God for money enough for this lunch today. He said, find a man and a woman of God with more assignment than they have money to do and help them do it. God will make you rich to fulfill that calling. 38 years have come and gone since that day. And it's proven to be so. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. So what is this about this morning? Well, it's just about you praying about it and see if God wants you to get in this thing with. Because it's going to come to pass. It's already working. Let me read you something here. I can't tell you. This just made the hair on the back of my neck stand at attention when I read, found this out. And one of our partners called, excited. Whew. Oh, there's so much I want to share with you. President Preval proclaims fasting and prayer. Since January the 12th, let me get on here. Where? The revelry of Carnival, or Mardi Gras, as you now know it, which is a voodoo holiday, and the Mardi Gras in New Orleans was born in Haiti. That's where the connection is. The president, Carnival, Mardi Gras, will not take place. Fasting and prayer will replace it. The president has called the island to prayer. Schools will be closed. Churches gather together in parks and fields to pray for their country. They've been instructed not to pray for personal needs, to pray for Haiti. That goes back many, 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 many years. When a covenant was made with Satan by the leaders of Haiti many, many years ago, a protection covenant. And since that day, they've been the poorest spot on earth. Well, that's broken. It's broken. And there's a number of articles about it, but our partners they called and they were ecstatic because they've been praying about this and seeking the things of God. But I'm telling you, the power of the Word of God has taken hold in that place. And we're there. We've been there for a number of years. One dear soul, an orphanage there. God bless her. She's one of my heroes. She'd go out by the around the dumpster and the trash places at the main hospitals where they threw away babies. The one that sticks out in my mind that she picked up out there. This little fellow's spine was exposed, part of it. And so when he was born like that, they didn't want him. They just threw him away. And Eleanor was out there, and she got him. Nursed him and nourished him back to life and nurtured him. Prayed over him, laid hands on him every day, pray in the Spirit over him, read the Word of faith over him, pray and believe God. And the first time I met that little fella, he was running around singing songs about Jesus, just as normal as all the rest of them. His spine all went back inside and his back covered up, and he was perfectly normal. Strong. Now, she had a whole orphanage made up of those little guys. But she came to the United States and the Lord said, I want you to give her $100,000 for that home. I said, yeah, I'll do it. Well, she came out to the place there and we'd already gotten it all together and gave it to her. Well, she had to get back. You know, she had to go back home. She got to go through customs and all. This is like 20 years ago or so. She had to go through customs and all that. So, she has a wig. She wears different wigs, you know. And I didn't know how in the world. She said she wanted money in cash. She don't take it back in there in a check or cashier's check. If you've ever been there, you know why. She didn't want anybody to know she had it. She put that money in her wig. Oh, yeah, and you got to know her. I mean, a woman of faith. And she just waltzed her beautiful self right through customs and everybody else. And she said, I'm walking through there smiling and saying, you don't know what I know. But that's the kind of people that are there now. And the Leslies in their home. Praise God. They were at the minister's conference and we had laid hands on her. And all of this thing had broken over there. And there they stood in faith right in the middle of this whole thing. Not a child injured, not a child died. And they're still standing. And so we're ministering through our partners like that over around the islands. And the power of God's at work. Praise God. The power of God is at work in Africa like never before. And it's all over the world like never before. And you and I are right smooth in the middle of it like never before. Our time has come. Our time has come. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I know, Mac, just come on up here with me and stand with me. And we talk about the Elite CX team. We talk about partnership in KCM and all of these things. But I tell you what we're going to do today. We're just going to stand. I want you to stand with me. Let's get up here on a little bit higher while everybody stands. When we came into this meeting today, I didn't know how the Lord wanted to take care of this. The Elite CX team is 10,000 people. Banded together. Now, these people are already partners with KCM in the general outreach of this ministry, and it's television and all that it's doing in things around the world. Prison ministries and international ministries and all of our offices. We got people all over that Pacific Rim. Mm-hmm. People ministering all over that. I landed in those of you that are students of World War II, you know, Guadalcanal and Hendersonville, where one of the biggest battlegrounds in the Pacific. And the first time I landed in there, I felt like I flew right into history. And the head customs guy wanted to see me. And I thought, what do you want to see me for? So I got out of the airplane, and the guys were fueling. We were going on to Australia. And so I walked up there, and Mac, he was just about my height, and he had his uniform on, and he had tribal scars on his face. And he's frowning at me. I thought, what? And I put my big smile on, you know. I don't want to frown back. And I walked up there to him. And when I got up there close to him, he didn't say, hello, how are you, God bless you, nothing. He said, when are you going to come teach us? Mm-hmm. I said, you want me to come have a meeting here? He said, when are you going to come teach us? I said, just as quick as Jesus, sister. And I questioned the Lord about it on a regular basis. I stand ready. And it's fast approaching. This is all part of what's happening in the Pacific. And what Satan tried to do with that tsunami. And thank God for the power of the blessing of Jesus Christ. And it didn't work.
Yeah, that's right.
And now the Caribbean. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, then there's regular partnership. All of these people in the Elite CX team were already partners. And they came in on this special team. If you want to be a part of that special team, then we're going to have a an Elite CX team party this coming May. Oh, we're going to all
May
get
15th.
Together. Yeah, May the 15th. And Randy Travis is coming. Yeah, we're going to do some picking and singing, man. And some testifying and preaching. And all other kinds of sundry good things. So you need to be there. Whether you're a member of the Elite CX team or not, you're invited. We are going to pray today, Mac and me and you. we're going to flow all these ministries together. The Elite CX team that you founded, the partnership team in KCM, and now the Haiti outreach, the HD project, the equipment that has to be put into Angel Flight, all of that. We're going to pull it all together today by faith. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, man. A new nation is being born out of this. There's an outflow and an awakening in the Caribbean is being born out of this. And you know what else is being born out of it? As we do this and as we stand on it, an awakening in the United States of America like this nation has never seen since the 1700s. The American Revolution was born out of a Holy Ghost outpouring, out of a Holy Ghost awakening throughout this nation. Everybody got fired up about life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness with God as our source and our only source. And this Babylonian system of socialism has been attacking this nation and the rest of the world for the last 110 years. And it's dying right in front of our eyes. And out of it will reemerge God's anointing on this nation to be the lighthouse of the world. Oh, God. Father, today, Mike Gober and I stand today. We stand together today. And I open the blessing of the Lord to our partners today, to the Elite CX team today, to our partners in Jesus' name. And Father, I hold them up to you right now. All of our partners. Their time has come. Their moment has come. It's here. And callings and ministries and life-changing things going to another and higher level in you, Christ Jesus. You are the right hand of God, and we are the right hand of Jesus. And we thank you for it, and we praise you. And Father, we pray for all of our partners.
Yes.
All of them, Father. The blessing of the Lord be loosed and flows.
Yes.
From heaven through the earth to them. Supernatural multiplication and divine heavenly resources. Praise you for it. Places and things, finances, resources, the life of Jesus being made manifest in their physical bodies and in their families, in their businesses, in their jobs, in their ministries, in their callings, wherever they are and whatever you've called them to do. In Jesus' name. Father, all of our partners that have family outside the kingdom of God, I'm asking you to sweep them in there today. Today.
Today.
Right now. Today is the day of salvation. You said it. I read it yesterday. The day is the day of salvation.
Amen. Right now.
Sweep them into the kingdom of God. If they have children that are out in the world and they don't know where they are, have them call them today. Today. If they have family that are in prison and behind bars anywhere in the world, cause the power of God to fill up their cells.
Oh, glory be to Jesus forever and ever. Now's the time I can... I was going to tell what happened in that Black History Night Sunday night. Fine young man right on the front row, dressed very nice. And when I saw him, I just had a kindred spirit with him. And then the word of the Lord came, and I ministered to him by the Holy Ghost. And I knew then he was pastor of a church. Well, he had asked the pastor if he could present our ministry with something at the close of the service, and so they allowed him that, and he came up and he said, "The first time I saw Brother Copeland, I was in prison." And he said he came to our unit there in Texas, and he said, "That night I accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior." And he said, "I had a long time after that to spend in prayer and study in my cell." And he said, "I decided I'm going to put these principles to work. God's going to show me where these things work or not. Praise God, it's do or die." And he said, and when I started, he said, things began to change right around me. That started changing just right there in my cell. The presence of God came in my cell. He said, I started sowing. I became a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. 25% of our partner base are in prison today. Not because they became a partner. They became a partner while they were in prison. Hallelujah. He said by the time came around when God saw fit for my release, he said my sowing and my giving and what God had taught me about how to live by faith, he said my situation was already prepared for me outside. Now, he said, I started several companies, and he named off a trucking company, and so, and he said, I pastor a fine church. He said, God has just blessed me, and he said, Brother Copeland, I just wanted to present you ministry with this seed tonight, and sowed sizable seed into this ministry. And he said, I just wanted to tell everybody what it meant to me. Praise God. And here's this fine looking gentleman. But you when you saw him, you wouldn't think, I bet that old boy come out of prison. You wouldn't think he ever knew where a prison was, man. But the word of faith, this is the whole point. The word of faith works in prison. It'll bring the blessing in that unit the same as it did in that unit where Paul and Silas were. It'll bring the blessing into an earthquake. It'll bring the blessing. It'll turn things around. It'll rebuild the city. It'll rebuild everything around you, praise God. There'll be things that happen that before you didn't think could happen in this place. When God becomes the source. Amen.
Amen.
And when your time comes, you say, that's my time and I take it. Then your life will begin to increase to match that moment. And there will be another moment comes. And when that one comes, you'll increase. Oh, yeah, the devil will get in your face about it. Spit in his eye and kick him right smooth between the eyes. And begin to walk right up his back and go right on with what you're doing. And laugh at him all the way. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He knows he's defeated. It ain't no surprise to him when you just knock the compound way out of him. It ain't no surprise to him. He knew he was going to get it when he got there. But he thought, well, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
Dumb. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for our partners, all of our partners that are having situations in their jobs, all of our partners that are having situations because of debt, all of our partners that are having situations with mortgages on their homes and their businesses and taxes and all of this mess that's going on in the economy. They don't have anything to do with us. And I pray, oh God,
supernatural multiplication, supernatural divine release from heaven, supernatural increase come in their lives right now and wipe out those debts and wipe out the property problems, wipe out the family problems, wipe out the business problems and prosper them above. So that people can come to them and say, how are you doing this in a time like this? And you can smile and say, do you really want to know? Jesus supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory. I'm not tied to that economy out there. And if you'll listen to me, I'll tell you how to be delivered from it. And together, we can grow and know that He is Lord. Hallelujah. Oh God, the supernatural increase this moment, right now. This moment, right now. And all of them that don't have a job and want a job, I'm asking you to get the best job they ever, more than they could ask or think, to find them and come on them. You said the blessings would come on and overtake us, brother.
Yes.
Amen. And all of our partners that are in the ministry. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We band together as an army like never before. That an increase of anointing, increase of blessing, increase of church members, and bless their members of their churches to overflowing beyond anything anybody's ever seen before. Until it gets to the place where people don't even think about going to the government. They just say, where is that church you go to? They'll help me. I can get real help over there. They'll help me. The government ain't got nothing. Whatever they help me with, they'll tax me and get it back. I'm going over at that church, praise God. Over there, I can not only be blessed and come out of this thing, I can help the government come out. I'm not going to them anymore. I'm going to that blessed church over there. I'm going to that. I'm going to that prosperity church. Praise God. Yes, people over there are blessed.
Yes, they are.
Amen.
Kenneth,
thank you, Jesus.
Kelly just leaned over to me right before I came up, and she said that she got an update from the Ron Hart Bunky Ministry, and it's now 55 million. Million.
Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, come on. Let's give the Lord praise.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Now look. If you're a partner with this ministry, that account goes to your heavenly account.
Every one of you.
Heaven has it written down that you won 55 million souls to the kingdom of God. Because you sowed into this as partners, and we turned around and stood with Reinhardt and Annie and stood on the word of God. Hallelujah. And when the Muslims were trying to kill him, they burned down a whole neighborhood in the city because they heard he was in it. Oh, dear Lord, I'm glad nothing like it happened to me. Well, that's the reason you're not winning 40, 50 million souls. All Reinhardt did is said, okay. Here he went, started preaching on the street corner. His autobiography has just come out. It's required reading for all partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Your name is in the book. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for our partners. And all of this increase. Brother Keith, Brother Moore, hand him a microphone. Sukahaite.
Na. Bush deal nafi.
Haraba.
And now you enter in to the next phase of your ministry. Now there comes a fullness of grace, enabling and empowering to fully fill your final place. Now there flows multiple streams of ministry simultaneously, from whence comes the provision from the same source as always. How shall it all be done? It's not for you to try to do it all, but you'll oversee, you'll direct, and there comes an increased measure. There comes a fullness of grace, empowering to stand in a higher place. Oh, hallelujah. Reach your hands out, saints, and pray. Oh, Shdovengandi. Oh, Divin Inye. Oh, Povum Paros. Non Chris Dejne. In times past, you were in the thick. You believed and used your faith to reach day to day. But the things have built and the things have grown. And now you'll operate not in a struggle, not in a reaching, not in believing for the details, but in sitting above and in looking over and in seeing over. It's a place of grace, but it's a place of rest. Don't let the details draw you down. Don't let them burden you. How this, how that. But let the grace buoy you up. Let it lift you high. Let the anointing empower you to sit in the greater place. You'll just see. You'll just know. You'll just go. You'll just flow. How shall you do it all? You shall not do it all. I have many in places here and there, and I've trained them. I've used you to minister to them, and I've trained them myself. And they're ready for such a time as this, for such an hour as this. I have them in place, and they're ready.
Yes.
They're ready for direction. They're ready for instruction. And I'll show you, and you'll just coordinate, and you'll just direct, and the money will not be a problem.
That's right. I receive it. I receive it.
Oh. Everybody lift up your hands. Everybody begin to worship the Lord. Oh, Father, we worship you. We worship you. Oh, worship the Almighty. We worship you, Lord. How great is your plan. How great your glory. Oh, Shdovengakti. Pray in the Spirit some more. We're not quite through. Oh, for my indolo is ninda eso. Oh, Pharos, Nosri, Ningli, Nongsha, Nayahen, Nishnaya, Dingdogo, Noivayena, Inubayasho, Ningjiang nohe snoksya yehe. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Nor sale. And so I say again, by the word of the Lord, now is the time you come into the next phase of your ministry. Now is the time, fullness of grace for your call will lift you up into your full and ultimate place and call. Multiple streams of ministry flow simultaneously. Oh, Schneekisti. How you do all things well, my Father. How can I do it all? You cannot. It is not for you. And here is wisdom to prevent fatigue. Be very selective, and you'll be very effective. Be selective in what you do. Wait on me. Just because it's available, just because it's needed, doesn't mean you're the one to do it. Even though you have the direction, I have many in place already. They're ready. The thing that drains is doing things in your own strength. Even if your heart's right, if I didn't tell you to do it, it'll drain you. Even if there's some good fruit from it, from the word, still, many in place, many ready. Be very selective. You've already begun being more selective. That is the right path. That is my direction for you. Continue with it. And do not anything just because you've done it that way in times past. Just because others do it that way. Do it not again, but like David of old, inquire of the Lord. Every time something comes up, even though you've done it for 20 years, 30 years, 40, this time again, inquire of the Lord. How do I do it now? Do I do it at all? Am I the one to do it, or do I just direct? And in doing so, it'll keep you fresh. It'll keep you strong. You'll not get weary. You'll not get worn, because you'll not be operating outside my grace in your own strength, you trying to do it, but you'll keep yourself in the grace, and you'll stay strong to finish your race. Hallelujah. With joy.
Yes.
And that makes you strong.
I accept it.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Oh, Lovishna. Praheshna. Praheshna. Praheshna.
Would you please, and Brother Mac, close this service? I believe God has it in your hearts how this should be closed. Some may want to become new partners. Some may want to become elite CX team members. I don't know.
Yeah.
When I went into this, I didn't see the plan. And then I realized
that it's in the heart of both of you men.
Amen. All I need is 5 minutes.
So, Lord, I release this into Brother Mac and Brother Keith's hands in Jesus' name. Oh, my. Oh, my.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do we really realize and understand that God is doing a temporary renovation of the nations for a final sweep of this earth? It's not their time. It's our time. Their crumbling is our opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Do we dare come on up and think that big? That new nations are being born? Yeah. Yeah, amen.
Thank you.
I want to be there.
Amen.
So I take my leave and I turn this over into your hands. Be led of the Lord.
Thank you, amen.
Close it as the Lord tells you and you see fit. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. What is this partnership about? Brother Mac will finish it up. Multiple streams of ministry flowing simultaneously. A lot of you are already partners with this ministry, but if you want to be a part of this and what the Lord is already showing them to do, how to expand, already globally, but expanding beyond that, then this is an opportunity for you to say, yes, God's put that on my heart. I want to be a partner. I want to be a part of this team. Brother Mac's going to tell you how.
Don't go nowhere. All right. Yeah. Give me 5 minutes, folks. I know you're already going, oh, God. Listen, you know, when you talk to a man that's full of the wisdom of God, I called Kenneth one night. I was trying to be cute. I said, Kenneth, I said, buddy, I don't know how to tell you this. We've been knowing each other for quite a long time, and you know I'm married. I've got children. And I'm in love with a man. And it got quiet just for about 2 seconds. And Kenneth says, well, you know, I think I'm in love with the same man. See, it's Jesus that drives everything in Kenneth Copeland's life. It's to reach souls. Many people, God bless them, they don't realize he's probably one of the greatest soul winners in the world because he affects what he does to reach nations. Say, God's plan, God's validation of a plan. Yeah, if you want to, you can be seated just for a second. Just for a second. I want to read you something, then we'll all stand together. Take a little sit there for just a second. Now, the validation is almost absolutely required when it's something to do with God. When I began to hear about what God was doing through Kenneth Copeland, how his heart reached out, and if you'll remember, he's been saying it to us for a long time, from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. And he had different assignments that God would give him to do. And one was to get him a vehicle that he could go and do exactly what God told him to do. And he'd go when God told him to go, and he could come back when God told him to come back. He didn't have to ask anybody if God told him to be in Korea at 2 o'clock the next day. Bam! He's gone. And so I was reading the Word of God. And this is the foundation scripture of the Elite CX team. And it's found in 2 Samuel 23:15. And David longed and said, or you could put Kenneth Copeland there. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men, or the elite CX team, break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should drink this. Is it not this the blood of the men that went in journey of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. And these things did these three mighty men. Now, that was in the bottom of verse 17, saying these things. The man of God said, well, I sure would like some water. And the three mighty men, they didn't say, let's have a board meeting on this. Let's see if we need to vote, and we'll send out a census and see how everybody feels about it. No, they so honored that man of God. He didn't give anybody an order to go get that. He was just thinking out loud, but people loved him enough. They knew he was a leader from God. And whatever that man of God wanted, they were going to get it for him. And so then God born the Elite Six team, and God showed me the plan. This is the plan that became holy. He said, I want you to go and call Kenneth and Gloria, and you tell them. You share this with them. And so I did. 10,000 people to become a part of the Elite CX team. Now, the Elite CX team, I was in the Navy. I learned to dive in the Navy. I was a scuba diver, is what you called it. And I was in Vietnam, where groups of men, Marines, different people, they would come together and they would go and accomplish something. And I'm just saying, there's groups of men, special forces guys, that's ready to go at any time and strike anywhere in the world our government needs them to protect this country and you and me. Thank God we have men like that. And women. Well, God wanted the same thing for KCM, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Now, this is the way it worked. At that time, that Citation 10 was $20 million. That's the price of that airplane. That's a lot of money. But God said, if you'll raise up 10,000 people, then each one given $2,000, well, that's $20 million. Wow. Okay. Now the next project comes up. Okay? Now everybody's already joined. We've got 10,000 people that's full members. They've already given their 2,000. And now they're ready for whatever next project that God speaks to Kenneth and Gloria. And the Elite Six team says, here we are, send us, Lord. I'll be one of them. Well, say he needs $4 million for a project. Well, now, all we do is contact the Elite CX team, and each one of us send in $400, but it's an immediate $4 million to this ministry. Do you see how that works? Now then, I didn't know, but God spoke to Brother Keith Moore. He's back there somewhere. And then there was a word from God and a prophecy that validated the elite CX team. Came right up. I mean, I didn't know that Brother Keith Moore was doing this. He, at that time, didn't know about the elite CX team and what God was doing. But you get it and you lay it side by side and you go, my, my, my. There's the validation of the plan of God. Amen? And so, to date, I think it's right around $4 million that we need to finish Operation HD, high definition, to get this taken care of. Well, you know, we've been working at this, and already we have around 4,700 people, right at 5,000 members already. Well, if we already had 10,000 that's joined up and ready for the service, then each one of us gets $400 and it's a done deal. Well, we're not going to stop on our goal until we reach 10,000 people. And you can be a part of the Elite CX team today. Now, me and my wife, we didn't have $2,000 to write then, but we gave our best, and we prayed and we agreed and touched and agreed that we were going to stay giving toward that till we reached the $2,000 and became a full member of the Elite CX team. And that we would stay with this and stay with the man of God. In case he wants a drink of water somewhere else, we'll help him get that also. Well, now then, we need the $4 million to finish off this project, and the very next one already God has shared with the man of God, Haiti. And we already know the very first project in that. And so, I mean, if we was already all members, all we'd have to do is write out a check for about $100, all 10,000 of us, and bam, that project be done over with. Well, that's where we're headed to. Thank God for all of you, that everybody that's Elite Six member already, stand up. I just want to show everybody, somebody has heard and somebody has answered the call. Look at there, all in the balcony. Many, many, many people has already answered the call and says, I'll be one of those three mighty men. I'll stand with the man of God. Thank you very much. Now, if you want to be a part of the Elite CX team, I want to encourage you right now, quickly, to get up from where you are and come to this altar, and you're going to join the Elite CX team with the rest of us. We're going to reach our goal of 10,000 people. You might as well be one of them. And just so you get up and you come on down right now, just come on. If you're in the middle, just get some, they'll get out of your way. Everybody stand up so people can get out. Amen. And you may not have the $2,000 today, but you're going to say, but I want to be one of the Elite CX team members and I want to help Haiti. I want to help the man of God reach this world from the top to the bottom and all the way around. Come quickly if you don't mind. We've been talking about the call, receiving the call. Well, here it is. God's already gave us a plan. It was a good plan, a godly plan, a holy plan. And then God validated that plan through Brother Keith Moore. I trust that man of God. That, just come quickly. And ushers, if you don't mind, get ready to give each one of these precious people an envelope, a card, so that they can start filling it out. Online, you can fill it out right now and become a part of the Elite 16. I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you. Look, you don't want me to come visit you, do you? I'm just playing. Hey, be a part of this. My God, I tell you what, it felt so good when Sandra and I finally paid that off and got that. And then we started helping on the other projects. Well, it'll be different from time to time. But you know what? When us all each do a little bit, it makes one's work lighter. Because we share with each other. Amen? God already showed me that it was going to be a full altar this morning. Looks like it's filling up. Some of you, if you don't mind, come up a little closer because we still got others that are coming. And if you want to just become a partner of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, everybody's going to get a card. And you fill that out and just you become a partner and stay faithful every month and pray over this ministry. Now, Lynn, come up here, buddy. Lynn, this guy, we're very close. And we both were in the Navy. And don't hold that against us. I know you Marine boys don't like that. They liked him because he was Doc. And they liked me too, and I liked them. They're definitely still my heroes. I mean, they saved my honey several times. Thank God for the Marines. Amen. And the Army and Air Force. Listen, I want you to do this for me. Put your left hand over your heart. Raise your right hand. We're going to have a swearing in of the Elite 16. Now, this is serious with God. You're becoming part of something that's going to last for a long time. And we're going to be able to touch a world together. Amen? Say, who y'all, Master Chief?
Who y'all, Master Chief?
We're talking to Kenneth Copeland there. He's our Master Chief. We gladly. Full of joy.
Full of joy.
Proudly. Become a part of the Elite 16.
Elite 16.
I will do my part.
I will do my part.
Just like the mighty men of David.
Just like the mighty men of David.
I am going to become a mighty man or woman of God.
Mighty man or woman.
Now, if you're a man, I refer you to say man, and you know. That'd make me feel a lot better. Amen. I'll get my $2,000 in.
Get my $2,000 in.
I won't stop till it's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Now, you that are out there online, you do the same thing with me now. Put your hand over your heart and raise your hand. And you do this. And listen, I'm telling you the blessings that come on men and women of God. Just like T.L. Osborne said, if you want to be rich, find a ministry that's doing something around the world and get behind them. That's what we're doing right now. Amen? And I know many of you are already partners. But the Elite 16 is going to absolutely touch a world. And we're going to do it one project at a time. Right now, we need to get that settled with that Operation HD. And each one will be different. But it's all in God's timing. Amen? Heavenly Father, I pray over every one of the new Elite 16 members. God, I know they'll be good members in good standing. They do have the heart of the mighty men of David. And God, they'll do their part, and together we'll do things together that'll reach this world. In Jesus' name, I thank you for everyone that became a new partner today. A partner of KCM. God bless them today just for being a partner. That blesses my heart. God, I love it to see men and women that get behind Kenneth and Gloria and help them touch a world. Now thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer today. Thank you, God, for Brother Keith Moore and what he means to the body of Christ. Lord, thank you that he opens up this church and church building so that this meeting can take place. Oh, he's a great member and standing, Lord. And I ask you to bless him and this church and let it grow like never before. Thank you right now, Lord, for our commander-in-chief, Keith Moore. Kenneth Copeland, Gloria, for all that they've done and will do in the future. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, we'll get this done. Fill it out. It's important that you put on that card or that envelope, Elite CX Team. Now, that's the CX back then stood for the Citation 10. But it's going to stay that way regardless of what project we take care of. Y'all understand that? Does everybody understand that? See, wouldn't it be nice if we already had all of our 10,000 members? I'm just saying, wouldn't it? And then each one of us just gives $400 and bam, that thing's taken care of. You know, well, there's somebody on TV that says bam. I don't know who that is, but I'm not that guy. All right. You have no idea how much I love you and thank God for you. If you need to, you go and sit down, and you're already Elite 16 members, and if you need to, right now the ushers are ready, right, to receive the offering?
Yes, and they can go back to their seats if their purse is there, their checkbook's there, whatever. Go ahead and go back to your seats so you can write and fill out your offerings. We want them done in divine order.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
And let me say something. As we're doing that, my buddy, as we began this under the leadership of Brother Mac and the vision that God gave Mac Gobert, and we saw the airplane come into being, we are now seeing the high-definition HD equipment for television all over the world come into being. That's going to happen. That's happening right now. We're seeing Haiti, the rebirth of a nation. Hello?
Hello?
Come into being right now. You don't want to run a marathon without getting in shape and running little chunks first, and then bigger, and then longer. You know what the big one's going to be? The great yellow sea of faces.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's happening already. You're going to be a part of China coming to Jesus. Over 1 billion in just weeks and months are going to come to Jesus when the time is just right. It is accelerating, accelerating, accelerating. So we're going to get our legs with these projects, and then all of a sudden, we're going to be able to strategically insert, can't talk about it, but strategically insert something that is a fuse, a detonator that will set off revival in China like never before.
Mm.
Just want to plant that in your heart. Amen.
And also remind you, and Lynn brought it to mind, hey, we've already taken care of the first project, and that was a $20 million project. So if 5,000 of us can take care of that, oh, what can 10,000 of us do? And we're doing it together, and I thank God for you. Ushers, are you ready to serve the people? I think they've been ready. They're ready to run the marathon. Is everybody out here ready, or you need a little bit more time? I know some of you is looking for envelopes. If you don't have an envelope, raise your hand so the ushers can get you one. Raise your hand real quickly. I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Three. That's it. All right. Yeah, just raise your hand, and the ushers are ready to give you envelopes right now. You know, man, I would have liked to have been back there and watched those three mighty men take care of business for God. What an inspiration that's been for the Elite CX team. And guess what? By reading the Word of God, we can be. And we can go right there and just go, oh, look, there did it. Yeah, we see the whole thing right through the Word of God. All right, so, since you're just now getting your envelopes, write fast. We're going to give you 3 more seconds. 3. There you go. Hey, if you got to, run an usher down. Make sure you get your offering in that bucket. You know, Kenneth, his first seed was a pencil. And then a lady came up to him and gave him, I think, $5, wasn't it? Five, Lynn?
Ten.
Was it $10?
Ten.
And for ten, that's right, $10 a month, I think, you could be a partner with Oral Roberts and reach the world and touch those people. And he decided he made up his mind, a made up mind's a battle won. He made up his mind he was going to be a partner, and he planted what he had, which was a pencil. And then a lady came up, he didn't even know her, said, "Here's $10, son." And he chased that usher down. He took that envelope out and pulled that pencil out of there and stuck that $10 down in there. And he said, "Oh, my, I'm a partner with Oral Roberts." Oh, man, I felt the same way when I became a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Woo! I get excited myself. All right. Ushers, serve the people, guys. I already got it on a good word. This is going to be one of the greatest offerings that had come in. It's a blessing from God. And everybody needs to be back here tonight at...
Well, the doors open at 6.
6 o'clock.
And the meeting starts at 7.
Right.
And you may feel free to leave your belongings on your seat until 2 o'clock. Gloria is on fire. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, so she'll be here.
She'll be here at 2 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock.
And then the doors open again at 6 o'clock. And register, if you haven't registered, both, you know, here in the venue, out in the lobby, pick up that card. And if you need a testimony form to share a testimony that the Lord has done something through KCM for you, pick out that testimony form and let our television and media department know about it. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and I'll see you. Hey, all you elite 16 members that joined today,
in May.
I will see you in May the 15th, right there at KCM,
yep,
at the headquarters.
Amen.
We're going to have us a party.
We're going to have us an HD party. Amen.
An HD party.
We love you, and Jesus is Lord.